There we go. That should actually say Romans 12 too. So it's collide. This particular one is called to be transformed or be transformed. How our Christian faith is and always has been on a collision course with worldly values is what this series is all about. I said it last week. Every single day of our lives, our Christian values are on a collision course with worldly values. We kicked things off by looking at the biblical principles of standing firm. We said what it means to stand firm. That's what we talked about last week, standing firm on our faith. The world attempts to offer us a different set of values. This is kind of summary of last week. It entices us with these different things and different thoughts, things that are attractive, things that are even seductive. But ultimately, we found that those things are inconsistent and they're not things that we can stand on. You can stand on them for a minute, but if you stand on them too long, you'll certainly fall. So the question is, how do we pursue the things of Christ? When we are bombarded daily with the things of the world, daily we are bombarded with the things and the values of the world, in that environment, how do we pursue the things of Christ? It's not easy. It's not easy. We allow ourselves to be led by the Holy Spirit in truth. That's what we do. That's how we do it. That's how we pursue Christ, is we allow ourselves to be led by the Holy Spirit into all truth. When we do, we will then and only then begin to experience the abundant life that we are talking about. But how do we keep the experience going during the mundane day-to-day? You know, it's easy to say, you know what, I'm going to live by the Spirit and in truth. But day after day after day in the mundane, routine difficulties of life is a whole different story. It's easy for one day to be full of joy and say, yeah, I've got this and life is good and God is good. But to have that same mindset day after day after day with the pressures in the things of life, it's not easy. I believe God desires three things from us, though, if we are to move forward in life after we lay the foundation. The foundation, obviously, is saying yes to Jesus. When we say yes to Jesus, but then there is three things that I think we need to do. If we're going to continue in this transformational process, there are three things that we need to do. And you have to understand that these things will collide hard with the values of the world. They will collide hard with the values of the world. The first one I want to look at today, of the idea of being transformed, this whole idea of being transformed. Anybody ever heard of the movies or seen the movie Transformers? Yep. Cool movie, right? The series of movies, there's more than one, was a huge hit. Still very popular, right? And I think the reason these movies were so successful had much to do with the idea of the transformer. Ordinary cars, okay, just an ordinary car would transform into a superhero that had amazing abilities. So it went from a car that was just a pretty normal car to all of a sudden transformed in the superhero that had amazing abilities. The point being that once the ordinary vehicles transformed, they were truly extraordinary. They were average vehicles, and after a transformation, they became something truly extraordinary. And I think that's what God desires for us. I think that's what God desires to happen in our life. See, for many of us, we've been tempted to follow the patterns of the world. We get caught up in the sinful behavior that ultimately does not fulfill us. Sinful behavior only fulfills for a moment, for a night, for a weekend, maybe for a season of life, but it doesn't fulfill us. Really, all it does is it ends up leaving us empty and broken and hurt. That's what it does. But God truly does know best. In fact, there's a verse in the Bible that talks all about that. And it's a verse that you've heard a million times probably, and it's one simple verse, and it's Romans 12:2. And this is what it says. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I want you to keep in mind that, or keep in your head that word mind. By the renewing of your mind, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. You see, within one verse, that was one verse, I believe Paul gives an equation. There's three things in there. The first thing is there's a subtraction, then there's an addition, and then finally, there's an outcome. And I want to break those three things down for you this morning. Those three principles. The first thing, I think, that I read in there is that's a subtraction. And it's what is Paul saying that we need to subtract from our life? We need to subtract the world from our lives. We need to subtract the world. The first thing Paul invites us to do is to simply say no to the patterns of this world. Say no to the patterns of this world. It says, do not conform any longer to. In other words, get rid of. Don't be like. So that's the first thing that we need to do. We need to subtract the world. That's the subtraction. For instance, we wake up early in the morning. Now, there are days that in everyone's life that we have a rhythm of some kind. You and I have a rhythm of some kind. It could be good or it could be bad. Now, there are some, or maybe even many, for instance, that wake up early in the morning. They drink a cup of coffee. They spend time in God's Word. Then they complete their morning workout. Then they go to work. And then they come home, they have dinner as a family, they do something together as a family, they wind down and go to bed and do it all over again. How many of you would say that that's a pretty good rhythm to be in? That's a darn good rhythm. Get up, drink your coffee, spend time in God's Word, go to the gym, go to work, put in a good day's work, come home, spend dinner as a family, do some things and go to bed. That's a good rhythm, right? However, there are those times in our life that we have poor rhythms, when we don't live intentionally, where we hit the snooze button four times, and we're lucky if we get our cup of coffee, much less spend any time in God's Word or hit the gym, and we go to work, and it's a constant battle, and then we come home, and we go in four different directions, and we don't have dinner as a family, and then we go to bed exhausted and do it all over again. That's a bad rhythm. That's a bad rhythm, but yet there are many who are living in that rhythm, an unhealthy rhythm. And I can tell you right now, I've had both moments in my own life. I've had both moments. I've had seasons in my life where I woke up in the morning making poor choices from the moment I woke up to the time I went to bed. Poor choice after poor choice after poor choice. It's a bad rhythm. It's a bad rhythm. I've had moments in my life that have been the opposite, where I've been in a good rhythm, where I do spend time in God's Word, and I do make healthy choices, and we do spend time as a family. I've had, certainly had both. But you know what? When I look back on those seasons, the common denominator of the bad rhythms, the time in my life when I was experiencing bad rhythms, there was a common denominator in all of those. And it is this, that I was being influenced by the world. I was being influenced by the world. There was a collision. There was a collision in my Christian principles lost. In those times that I was living in a bad rhythm, it's because in that collision, my Christian principles lost and the world won. The world won. Now, fortunately, it wasn't a long season for me, and I'm thankful for that. It wasn't a long season because I made a conscious effort to get back into the battle. And this time, my Christian principle values won. When the head-on collision came, and they still come, when I was in good rhythms, It's because my Christian values won in that collision. See, when I was in a season of living in the world, I allowed the things of the world to lead me astray. And I'm sure I'm not the only one who's probably experienced that. Praise God for you. Lucky for you if you haven't. Maybe you've grown up in a Christian home right from there. You've never been led astray. You're fortunate because that's not how most turn out. That's not how it happens for most. At some point in your life, we must participate in some internal dialogue between you and your sinful habit. At some point, you have to have a dialogue with it. At some point, you have to have a conversation about it. Sin, you've been creeping back in my life every time I convince myself that you are gone. And even if you continue to present yourself to me as a temptation, I'm telling you that the answer in advance is no. These are the conversations, the dialogues that we have to have with the sin in our life. Say, I have thrown you aside, you keep coming back, but you need to know up front, the answer is no, you're not welcome here. We need to have those dialogues, we need to have those conversations. When Paul says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, he's not talking about a one-time deal. It's like a vehicle registration. It has to be renewed year after year after year. You don't just renew it once and it's good for life. It's not the way it works. Paul is obviously suggesting that it starts with our thought process. If we got to renew our mind, then there's something about our thought process. Unhealthy rhythms sneak into our lives because we have been, as Paul says, trying to copy the behaviors and the customs of the world. When we are trying to copy the patterns of the world, we will find ourselves in these bad rhythms. When we have a rhythm in our life, we will be in some form or fashion mirroring something. If you're having a bad rhythm, you're mirroring something bad. If you're in a good rhythm, it's because you're mirroring something good. Because you're mirroring something good. Either we mirror the world and its values, or we mirror God and His will. One or the other. We can't do both. So, the first thing, as I said, is we have to say no to the world. We have to subtract. We have to say no. But there's a second part to that. In addition to saying no to the world, we also have to say yes to God and His ways. We also have to say yes to His truth. We also have to say yes to His word. See, once you are able to locate and get rid of the worldly patterns that you've been following, that void that is now created has to be filled with God's transforming work. It's not enough just to say no to the world and not say yes to God. We have to fill that void with something, and we need to fill it with Jesus. Jesus desires that we live a life that is constantly seeking to grow. Think about it this way. So it's springtime, right? And the grass is starting to grow. Anybody cut their grass yet? I had to cut mine. I had to cut my grass a few days ago because it was getting long. Now, some people cut their grass and it doesn't need to be cut. They just love to cut their grass. But mine legitimately needed to be cut. It was getting long. That's my mom. She'll be like, it's that tough. Better cut it. It's been 3 days. Got to cut it. So anyway, I've already cut ours. And if we don't get another drop of rain for the rest of the year, how many more times am I going to have to cut it? Zero. Maybe once. Maybe twice. But if we don't get another drop of rain, it's not going to grow. Right? It's just not going to grow. Now, I can put the weed killer on. I can get rid of the weeds. I can say no to the weeds. I can say no to the dandelions. And get rid of all that and give the grass every opportunity to grow. But if it doesn't get rain, that's not going to grow. We can get rid of all the weeds and all the patterns of the world out of our life, but we still aren't going to grow if we're not drinking from the living water. Right? Amen? It's not merely enough just to say no to the world. We have to say yes. We have to say yes. As I said, the same thing is true for the patterns Christ wants in our life. Spending time reading and studying the Word of God will give us the right type of thought processes and help us respond when we are confronted with the worldly things. Because if we only say no to the world, but don't say yes to God, the next time the world confronts us, we won't know what to say. We won't have an answer for it. And the next thing you know, we'll be following the patterns of the world all over again. Just like the grass from a moment ago, we can't simply water our minds and our hearts every once in a while if we expect to grow. It has to be done on a daily or consistent basis. We have to continually be filling our minds with the living water in order for there to be growth. In Psalms 1, verses 1 and 2, the Bible talks about this concept. It says, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked. Okay, so that's getting rid of the world, not walking in step with the wicked. Or stand in the way of sinners. Okay, that's again, that's getting rid of. Or sit in the mockery, or sit in the company of mockers. But whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. So the writer of the psalm is saying the exact same thing that Paul is saying. Look, you not only got to stop walking with the sinners, but you got to start meditating on the law day and night. You've got to do both. David is a walking, talking example of the importance of meditation on God's word day in and day out. David struggled mightily. Can you imagine what his life would be like if he didn't meditate on God's word? God desires that we not just have the word near us, but actually in us. We don't learn God's word through osmosis. Just having the Bible close to us is not the same thing as actually opening it up and reading it. One of Julia's teachers a few years ago said, I swear that girl learns through osmosis. That's not the way it works with God's word, though. You can't just look at it and keep it close by your nightstand and expect to know and be transformed by it. The work of transformation will only be done when we allow God to do it. We need to allow God to do it. Maybe something needs to change in your rhythm. Maybe something needs to change in your morning. Maybe something needs to change in your evening routine to allow God to transform you from the inside out by spending time with him. Maybe there's something you got to say goodbye to. Maybe say, you know what? I need to give that up because it has got me so busy and so distracted that I just don't have time to spend in God's word. I need to give that up. Maybe I need to give up the 20 minutes of sleep in the morning and set my alarm clock 20 minutes earlier. Or maybe that means I got to go to bed 20 minutes earlier at night and turn the TV off 20 minutes earlier so I can get up 20 minutes earlier to spend 20 minutes in God's word. There might be a routine that you need to change. By doing this, you have moved worldly distractions out of the way when we do that. This allows God to come in and do his transforming work. If we don't do that, then God can't do his work if we don't do our work. This transformation begins in our mind, as Paul said, by the transforming of your mind. So it begins in your mind. Paul closes out Romans 12:2 with an outcome. Once we take these steps towards the transformation, he says, then what? Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Paul is basically saying, if you don't say no to the world and say yes to God's word and the truth of God's word, then you aren't going to know what your purpose is. You aren't going to know what God's will is for your life if you don't do those two things. And that's the third principle that we need to do, is discern our purpose. Subtract the world out of our lives, say yes to Jesus in our lives, and then discern what our purpose is. We know even though Paul wrote this letter many years ago, it's amazing that God knew what he would, that we would need to even know even now. Paul wrote that how many years ago? But God knew that we would still need to know and believe and understand it even now. Many people spend time searching tirelessly for their purpose in life. It is so sad. There are many that I think go to the grave having never understood what their purpose in life really was. And it is a sad, sad tragedy. Spending hourless, tireless time trying to find your purpose in life, trying and doing so by searching for it in the things of the world. And then figuring out that you just can't. You can't search the things of the world and figure out what your purpose in life is. Many have searched for it in a relationship. My purpose is in a relationship. And then figured out after a while that that didn't work out. Many have tried to find it by achieving a certain social status. And then found out, that didn't work. Many found it by posting things on YouTube, trying to get enough followers or enough likes on YouTube. You hear it all the time. If you like my video, hit the like button. That's what YouTubers say all the time. Click the like button. If I get enough likes, then I understand my purpose. Eventually, they're going to figure out that that doesn't work either. Christ is the only one who gave you meaning and purpose in your life. He has called you to do great things for his kingdom here on earth. You have giftings and abilities that no one else has. God has purposed you to do something that he might not have purposed anyone else to do. And I can tell you it's all for the purpose of building up the church. If you don't believe that, just take a look at 2 Corinthians 12:7. But I wonder how many have yet to sense a calling from God because of the unhealthy rhythms in their life. They haven't understood their sense of call on their life because they're in this bad rhythm. And this bad rhythm has distracted them from the relationship with God. We haven't been able to sense God's leading because we haven't spent time with him. The good news is this. There's good news. There's still time. There's still time. Isn't that awesome? The thief on the cross. There is still time. There is still time to find your purpose. There is still time to say no to the world, say yes to Jesus, and allow God to reveal his purpose. There is still time for that. The Bible is full of instances where God makes it clear that there is still time to find your purpose in his kingdom. God has a purpose for you in his kingdom. And if you haven't figured it out yet, it's not too late. Here's the thing. The two go hand in hand. It's much easier to develop healthy rhythms or routines in life when we understand our purpose. We have to say no to the world and yes to Jesus to understand our purpose. But once we understand our purpose, it's a lot easier to say yes to Jesus and no to the world. Because if you don't know what your purpose is, then you're just wandering aimlessly through life. And when you're doing that, it's going to be a lot easier to say yes to the world and no to Jesus. The two go hand in hand. This is what Joel says in chapter 2 in verse 12. Even now. That's how he starts out. Even now, declares the Lord. Return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. So when does Joel say the time is? Even now. If you didn't do it yesterday or the day before or 10 years ago, do it even now. Do it even now. Return to the Lord even now. It's not too late. All the way back in the book of Joel, The Lord has invited people to find their purpose in a relationship with Him. It's an invitation that does not expire. It does not expire. Jesus Christ came to this very earth, was tempted by the same things that you and I are tempted with. Even more so, we read in Scripture that after He is baptized, He was led into the wilderness and tempted beyond probably anything that we will ever be tempted with. Yet He did not sin. Ultimately, He died on the cross for our sins so that our life would have purpose. Jesus said no to the world. He said yes to the God, and He said yes to His purpose. He said yes to His calling. And because He did that, now our life has purpose in the kingdom as well. You know what I think? I don't think Jesus would have been able to endure the cross had He not understood all three. Jesus would not have been able to endure the cross if He didn't say no to the temptation in the desert and say yes to God, and if He didn't understand His purpose. If Jesus had not understood the purpose that the Father had on His life, there's no way He would have been able to endure the cross. But praise God that Jesus knew all three. Praise God that Jesus said no to the temptations. He said yes to Jesus, and He said yes to the purpose and the call that the Father had on His life. And because He did that, we too can say no, we can say yes, and we can understand our purpose as well. There is always an empty spot at Christ's table. Always an empty spot. It seems like no matter how many show up to the table, there's still an empty spot. There's still an empty spot. His table is never at full capacity. He's never at full capacity. Unlike at the birth of Christ, there is always room in the inn. There's always room in the inn. They didn't necessarily have room for Jesus, but Jesus always has room for us. Amen? I'll just close with this. Not everyone's in the same place. Not everyone is in the same place. Some are still living in harmony with the patterns of the world. Some have still not said no to the worldly values. Some are still being enticed by the worldly values. Some are still enjoying living in the worldly values. Some have not quite yet figured out that they lead to dead ends, that the worldly values lead to dead ends. But are not filling that void. And some have said no to the world, okay? Some have said no, but they're not filling that void with the truth of God's word. They said, you know what? I know that I don't want to live like that. I know that I don't want to live according to the patterns of the world. Just not quite sure I want to live like what the Bible says, though. I'm still not quite sure that I'm there. But some have said no to the world. Some have said yes to the truth of God's word, but still haven't quite figured out what their purpose or their calling is. See, there's all three, right? And for each of us, we're at a different place on that plane. Some haven't even said no yet. Some have said no, but not yes. Some have said no and yes, but haven't quite understood God's purpose in their life yet. We have to do all three. We have to figure out all three. If we want truth to win in the war in our lives, when it collides with the world, we need to do all three. My encouragement to you this morning is this: to be honest with yourself about where you are on the plane. There's no shame. Be honest. Do you still need to say no? Are you still being easily enticed by the patterns of the world? Do you still get caught up in the enticements of the world? Maybe you've said no, but you're just like, you know what? I really haven't said yes, though. I don't spend time in God's word like I should. Be honest with yourself. Or maybe you've done both of those, but you're like, you know what? I've not really pursued my purpose. I don't know what it is. I mean, I've said no. I still believe in the truth of God's word. I still spend time in his word, but I'm still really not sure what God wants me to do with all of that. Then my encouragement to you would be to simply ask, God, what have you purposed for me to do? What have you called me to do? What is my purpose in your kingdom? If you do all three of those things, then when the truth of God's word that we have in our life collides with the world, the truth will win. The truth will win. We see this collision course taking place nearly every day in our lives. In our workplace, in our schools, social media, everywhere you go, the truth of God's word, the media, shouldn't say just social media, the media, good grief, the media, constantly at odds with our truth is constantly at odds with the world. When we see it taking place every day, we do see it taking place. Unfortunately, it seems like the world is winning most of those battles. It is. But don't let it be so in your life. Don't let it be so in your own life. We might not have a huge influence about what happens in the world. We may not have a huge influence on whether the truth of God's word wins when it collides with the world. But we have the ability to control who wins in our own life, right? What wins? Don't let the world win in your own life. Say no to the world. Say yes to Jesus. And actively, passionately pursue his purpose in your call, his call in your life. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Apostle Paul. We thank you for Prophet Joel. We thank you for the writer of the Psalms, Lord, who basically have all reminded us that at some point we have to say no to the world. We need to say yes to you, and we need to pursue your call in our lives. And Lord, I especially thank you for the reminder in your word this morning that even now we can do that, even now. Lord, thank you that it's not too late to take any one of those steps. Wherever we are on the plane, we can take the next step even now. Thank you for that, Lord. And Lord, I pray for every single person here this morning, every single person who may have heard the message this morning, who may be tuning in this morning, Lord. I pray that you would give them the courage, even now, to evaluate their life and say, yes, I need to take the next step so that truth will win against the world in my life every time it comes at odds with each other. Amen.
Thank you, Dan. Please stand if you are able, and let's raise a hallelujah.